brace yourself. You are about to enter Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise.
Free your ass, your mom will follow. Take it deep, now don't be shallow. Free your ass.
Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 121. On January 4th, 2016. So check it. I've got new music. New music for 2016. I hope you like it. The first time I heard that recording, it sent chills down my back. I swear to God, I love that woman's voice. And that woman, by the way, who wishes to remain anonymous, but has a fabulous voice. So yeah, way exciting things happening here at peggingparadise.com. And the first thing is the music. And we are still, however, changing the world one ass at a time. So we're going to jump right into the letters. This was an email sent to me in regards to the woman who wasn't really sure what to call her strap-on and was kind of a little fearful about, or concerned at least, that her boyfriend wouldn't take kindly to it being called something rather phallic. Question for podcast number 120, what to call my strap-on. I haven't had a chance to listen to podcast 120 yet, but I read the bullet points. It was weird or confusing for me in the very beginning, trying to decide what I wanted my piece to look like and what to call it. I now have lots of colors and shapes, real and generic looking. I call them all my cocks. But in the beginning, I played around with so many names, afraid of calling it a cock or dick. Silly things like my friend, toy, piece, little insert name, like Little Ruby Wants to Play. My boyfriend and I are very confident now and just have fun with it. I do remember asking him, though, what he wanted it to look like and what we should call it. He was always very open-minded, so I would suggest asking and being confident and have fun with it. I totally agree with this woman who wrote in. Have fun with it and ask him, because in the beginning, it may be more comfortable for you guys to have something that does sound a little bit silly, and you might stay with the silly, or who knows, you might be talking about Little Ruby. Please don't call it Little Ruby. Call it something else. Actually, if you do, that's totally fine, but, you know, just don't tell me. Anyway, you might be calling a little something, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of getting fucked, he's like, fuck me with your cock. You know, stuff happens like this. You never know. But thank you for writing in and giving us this little story and advice for the woman who doesn't know what to call her strap-on. Here's another email. My wife and I enjoy pegging and prostate play. I also have a fantasy of being pegged while I'm inside a woman. It's fun to talk about with my wife, but obviously this would involve a three-way, which realistically isn't going to happen. I'm okay with that, but I was wondering if there is a toy that could simulate the feeling of being pegged while I'm entering my wife. Any ideas? I do have some ideas for you, although the caveat here is that there's really nothing that's going to give you the feeling of being thrust into. The only way that I can think of that you might be able to simulate that would be to buy one of those electric, sort of expensive, noisy, thrusting fucking machines and have it at the base of the bed, which might just take all the whole romance and excitement out of it and throw it out the window. I don't know. Other options, however, are using anal toys that vibrate. And there's a number of those. The one that comes to mind first is made by Jeju, and it is called the Nuo, N-U-O. And this is a really nicely designed, remote-controlled butt plug. And the reason I think it would be the best choice would be the part that goes in your ass narrows down to a neck, and that neck area is soft and it goes down to fairly slender, and that is the key to keeping a good butt plug in. And then it goes out in two arms, so to speak. So there are two motors of vibration on this thing, and one is in the tip of it, which would be the closest to your prostate, and the other is on the base of the arms, which would stimulate the perineum. But there's more cool stuff about the Neo, because It is remote controlled, and it's controlled by something that looks exactly like a pen, like a writing instrument. And what you can do with this writing instrument, once you connect the two, which is very easy to do, and there's a video that shows you how to do it, is you can turn it on remotely, and they have a pretty powerful motor in that, so it reaches a ways, and you can not only change the vibrational patterns, of which I believe there are four, there's a little thing at the very top of the pen where if you turn it, that increases the power. So you have the ability to have a lower or higher power on each of the four vibrational patterns, which is way cool. So, okay, I feel like I'm doing that late night TV thing again, but wait, there's more. Also, this is an app-driven toy, okay? So, once you connect it to the app, what you've got is the ability to control it at distance. So, theoretically, your husband is at work, your partner is at work, he has the butt plug in. You have the app on your phone. You can open up that app and turn it on and make that thing vibrate, right? Maybe not the best idea at work, but it's a kind of a hot fantasy. The point being, you have the ability to control the butt plug in his ass at a distance. Now, there's several toys on the market like this, and this is one of the first one. This is the first one that I know of that is specifically designed for male prostate stimulation. You know, there are ones that can be used for ass play with men as well as women, but this one is really particularly designed for men, and I commend them in bringing something out like that and also embracing the new technology of the app-driven toy because it's pretty damn cool. Plus, it plays into my fantasies, as you all know. So that would be the toy that I would recommend the most. You could be inside her, and she could have the remote. Or you could just put it where you want it, and then you could fuck her. So if you want vibrations, the Nua would be an awesome choice because it is so versatile. There are a couple of other toys out on the market made by Lalo, very similar to each other. One is remote controlled and the other isn't, but it's basically the same toy. The remote controlled one is called the Hugo, and the one without the remote is called the Bruno. So what these toys are shaped like is there is the part that goes into the ass that stimulates the prostate, and then it comes down and it's kind of like an L shape. So that L part will go up towards your balls and sit right there in your perineum. These are excellent toys as well. They talk about their range motion because a lot of times with remote toys, they just kind of zip out for some reason, or all of a sudden it's just not working, or you get the remote too far away. Lalo has increased the range of this remote to 12 meters, so they claim it's the most powerful one out there. Plus, there are two vibrational motors, just like in the Nuo, one in the end where your prostate is and one for the perineum, and they claim that these are also the most powerful vibrational motors out there for this kind of toy. So, yeah, these are awesome as well. I believe that there's 8 different types of patterns, and once again, you do have the ability to adjust the power infinitely in terms of for each pattern. And again, with the late night TV, that's not all. The extra that comes with this one is there's a thing called sense motion that they have, and that means that the person that is holding the remote, it's kind of shaped basically like a big M&M, if you will. If they move the remote around, it affects the vibrations of the toy. So that is something that's really fun to play with as well. The Hugo is the one that has the remote. The Bruno is a little less expensive because it comes without the remote. So there you have it. And those are the best choices of what I can think of to at least give you hands-free vibration. And also with the remotes, it allows your wife to kind of get in the picture and play with it. You could enjoy some dirty talk along with her controlling the toy. You know, you could all of a sudden she could start talking about you getting fucked and she could turn the toy on. So yeah, my mind goes crazy. So thanks for the question. And I'll have the links to those three toys in my Linkorama for you, sir. Thanks for writing in. And for this one, please do let us know how it goes. I want to hear the story. Okay, another email. I'm a bloke in a... bloke, you are across the pond, sir. I am a bloke in a long-term relationship with my lady, and we have played with my ass quite a bit. My lady enjoys playing with me, but isn't as keen on pegging yet, as we played with a Cher strapless which won't stay in my lady. Planning on buying a harness, the spare parts one. I am really keen to find ways of making the act of pegging as pleasurable as possible for my girl, as I think she may grow to love it. We have actually used the share the wrong way around, me wearing it anally, and fucking my lady with the cock end. This was awesome, and I wonder if others have tried this. Anyways, do you have any suggestions for female orgasms brought on by pegging? First, let me talk about how you use the share and put the ball part in your ass and fucked her. And I think that that's totally amazing because there's a lot of guys who have asked about that, couples who have asked about it. And the few reports I've had about it mostly were that it's really difficult to do. So what I'm wondering is, did you do double penetration on her? Did you do the anal and the vaginal? And if so, how was that? Or did you just put it in your ass and fuck her in the vagina? So I'm curious about that because I haven't heard that it's an easy thing to do. Have heard a few reports here and there about having done it successfully. So that is something I am curious about. Now, moving on to the correct equipment to get your wife off, excuse me, your lady off while she's pegging you. You know, you already have the share, and I have heard about combining the share with a Wee Vibe. The Wee Vibe is a toy that's U-shaped with vibrational motors in both the part that sits against the G-spot as well as it sits against the clitoris. And the Wee Vibe is something that you could add to what you already have, and you will definitely need a harness. You have found that out, and like 99% of the women out there find this out as well. The strapless are not strapless, but the share is a pretty good toy. The thing is it doesn't have vibrations. So I've heard combining that U-shaped toy, the Wee Vibe, with the share is an awesome thing to try. Wee Vibe has redesigned their toy and made it so that it fits better, it moves around less, and they've definitely made some improvements in it. The Wee Vibe 4 also has that app-driven feature and is remote-controlled, just like the Jeju Neo that I spoke of just a little while ago. So it's a pretty damn good toy. It's awesome. And you can do that, or you can kind of start over with the double, and you can get a Fuse Tango with the Wee Vibe Tango Bullet Vibe. And that's the combination that I recommend all the time to people. I'll put all those links on the Linkorama, but those are the best suggestions that I have. Probably good to have a conversation about where she wants the stimulation. What I recommend usually is to determine, are you someone who really likes G-spot stimulation, or is it for you, or you know, you don't really get off on it? Or are you really clitorally driven? And is that how your orgasms happen primarily? Or do you enjoy both? If you enjoy both, then the Wee Vibe's pretty cool. And one more thing that I could recommend is that's the more inexpensive option is you are going to get the spare parts harness. Well, in the spare parts harness, in the fabric in the back are two pockets where you can put bullet vibes. Now, personally, I don't care for that type of solution because when I am fucking someone, I'm going at it pretty, not hard, well, it depends on the guy, but the point being that bullet vibe is metal, it's hard, and sometimes it gets between my pubic bone and the man I'm fucking, so it becomes uncomfortable. Now, if it's like a slow sensual fuck, or if you get it positioned just right, which I haven't been able to do, that could be a way cool thing. And there are two pockets. One is above the insertion area, and one is below the insertion area for the toy itself. So that's a possibility. And those are all of the possibilities I can think of for you, and the links will be in the Linkorama. The Bullet Vibe that's the best by far of any of them is the WeVibe Tango. It's waterproof, it's rechargeable, and it's much more powerful than any of the cheap little stupid Bullet Vibes that you get with the toys. So there you have it. And good luck to you, sir, and I hope your lady gets on board and has all kinds of lovely orgasms while she is fucking you. Okay, another email. Hi, Ruby. Are you aware of a reputable source for buying a custom pegging dildo? I would like to be able to specify both the length and girth, and would like the material to be safe. A longtime listener and fan. So, okay, here's what I came up with. A couple of different options, a couple of very interesting options, but not exactly what you're looking for. But let me tell you what I found. There is a place called the New York Toy Collective, which makes some really nice high-quality silicone toys. And they actually have a method for 3D scanning of private parts and then building a resulting dildo. So it's kind of like the Clone a Willy thing, except it's way, way, way better because it uses a 3D printer. I know that you are asking for the ability to specify exact measurements, and that is not the case here. So that's one option, which is kind of, you know, not exactly right. And I do believe that they do these 3D scannings in New York at this time. So the other option I found is a wild toy company, despite the fact that they are really, really good quality toys, called Bad Dragon. Now, the Bad Dragon dildos are made on the concept of sort of fantasy things, you know, think like werewolves and unicorns and blah, blah, blah. So they make all kinds of wild-shaped dildos. So what I found is that amongst all of these dildos are the widest range of sizes I have ever seen. You still cannot exactly dictate the size of what you want, though. I imagine there might be Etsy people out there who are making them to order, so if anybody knows any, please let us know. The question is, at that point, is what kind of silicone are they using? Because both Bad Dragon and New York Toy Collective have platinum-cured silicone toys, and those are the best that you can get. So, yeah, that is as much as I could help you. If anybody has any other information about custom-made dildos to exact size specifications, please do let us know. So here's a cool thing that I found out, though, when I was checking out the Bad Dragon website, which is just about as fascinating as you can imagine. And this relates to the man who wanted to try and find a hollow dildo that would fit his rather sizable cock, okay? So I don't know if this exactly would be what you want, sir, because I'm going to send you an email and let you know that I found this on Bad Dragon, but it's a sheath to wear. So the sheath is made out of very, very soft silicone and has a ring around it to anchor it by putting it around your balls, kind of at the base of the cock around the balls. Anyway, I looked at a video made by this other blogger called The Gritty Woman, and she has an amazing video that's just really fascinating. I couldn't stop watching it, about the Bad Dragon toys and about how to order a customized toy, because that's what Bad Dragon's all about. You choose how firm and how soft you want the toy. You choose the size that you want, and you choose the color. And it gets a little bit complicated, so she has this whole video on the whole thing. Well, one of the things I noticed was that when she was talking about the really, really soft silicone, was that she had a sheath there, and she was holding it up and stretching it. I'm quite sure that it would stretch to fit around your cock. What I don't know is how much stimulation it would prevent you from feeling. Because they have three different sheaths, and one of them, only one of them, is closed at the end. And I believe that one is supposed to be the werewolf. And interestingly enough, on the end of that toy, they do have a little hole. So if you come, your cum can actually come out the end. And I know that your point was that you wanted to deny yourself that pleasure while fucking her with something that fit onto your own cock. But that's the closest I could find. When I saw that, I got all excited and thought, well, maybe that's something that might work for you. So I will have links to all of these fun things. The New York Toy Collective 3D option, the Bad Dragon website and the Gritty Woman's video that she made. And she has a lovely accent, and it's just hypnotizing watching this thing. Plus, it's shot like at chest level. She's got the beautiful toys, and then she's got the boobs there, kind of in a tight shirt with, you can see the bra line underneath. You guys got to go check it out, man. It's pretty cool. And with a little more research about this werewolf wearable sheath that Bad Dragon makes, I was able to find a comment from a guy in the Bad Dragon forum on Reddit, and he says his penis length is 7 inches and his diameter is just under 2 inches. And he said it fits pretty snugly, but with a tiny bit of lube and some water, he was able to slide it on and it fits just right. So the one question that remains is how much it will actually stop the sensation so you won't come. But I don't know. It's an option anyway. Okay, so that's it for that project. This was a comment left on my Pegging Paradise website with the article, "No, he's not gay." My fiancé started pegging me around 7 months into our relationship. I was so worried I might be gay, and I talked with her about it. She finally helped me by introducing a gay friend of hers to help us both find out. Both of us were curious because I liked it so much. Well, he offered to spend the evening with us and got completely naked, and I've never been more turned off. He was an average-looking guy, but I'm not into men. I found out I'm straight, but I like getting kinky with my girl. Simple as that. I'm amazed at this story. How brave you were, how courageous. It seems matter-of-fact. It's like, well, maybe I am gay. Let's just try it out and see, and have some guy friend come over and find out if I'm turned on. That's awesome. That is so awesome. And so you tried it out, and you're not. So, good on you. Thanks for writing in. Okay, here's another email. "Hey, Ruby, I just wanted to comment on the woman who was having trouble pegging her boyfriend because she could not get past the evil dom stereotype, and your suggestion of using a suction cup dildo. My wife pegs me, but sometimes she is not in the mood, but I am in the mood for some pegging action. We have found this toy, which is called the TOM dildo mount. It is a plastic mount, which allows a suction cup dildo to be mounted to it at 3 different angles. It works great because I can straddle it and ride it while she plays with my cock or nipples, or I can back up on it doggy style and eat her pussy, or suck another dildo. The possibilities are endless. Here is the link." And I checked it out, and it sounds interesting. There are some reviews on it that it doesn't stay in place well enough, and that the size of it makes the use limited, and the size of it limits the use because it depends on how long your legs are, what shape your body is, that it's not a high enough toy to actually fuck yourself on, depending on how your body shape is. But I will go ahead and put that link up there for you who are curious, and I wanted to let you know that one of the things that we also offer at enticeme.com are a couple of Liberator products that are pillows that are called toy mounts. And they are completely capable of holding either a dildo or a toy without a flared base, as well as one that does have a flared base, anywhere from 1.25 inches in diameter to 3 inches in diameter. And the toy mount pillows, which we offer through Entice Me, The Pulse is the one that I would recommend for men who want to have that feeling of being able to fuck themselves. And it's an option for when you have a partner, like this guy says, who they'll do it sometimes, but not all the time, or maybe even they're flatly refusing, that's just pegging something that they're totally not into. And the Pulse is a great option because you can put any size dildo in there you want. The rounded bottom of it makes it so that you can get the angle just right. And also, it's kind of a teardrop shape, sort of, so your butt cheeks can go on either side of the end of it. And it gives it more stability in terms of being able to back up into it. So, yeah, I'm going to put that link up there, too, for the Liberator Pulse. And moving right along. "Hey, Ruby, I hope you've enjoyed your holidays. Do you know of a prostate toy that is not too thick, that has a separate vibrating part that reaches the testicles? I suppose kind of like a rabbit for men." Interesting you should write in, sir, asking about this, because this is exactly what we were talking about, that the Bruno and the Hugo are. And also, the Jeju Nuo. All those three toys qualify for that description, and it depends on what you want. All three of them as well are not that big in terms of the biggest part of it that has to go inside your ass, the maximum diameter, so to speak. So all three of those would probably qualify for what you're looking for. So take a look at those and see what you think. The descriptions get more involved when you click into the website and entice me and can help you decide which you want to do in terms of the features that each one offers. Alrighty, let's move to a comment that I was sent on FetLife through a private message. This is from a younger, dominant woman who is actually new to BDSM and had some pegging questions for me. And she ended up asking me the question, after pegging and sex, I'm not sure how aftercare goes. I was asking what he liked and what he didn't and how he felt because it was the both first time. So it was first time for both of them. English is a second language. He's from Finland. And let me address it more completely. First of all, in BDSM, as many of you are aware, that involves restraining people and beating them with a variety of implements. And that has often caused impact play. And it's done for a variety of reasons. Whether it's done for the experience of the endorphin release, or whether the person just flat out likes pain and calls themselves a masochist, or whether the person being beaten just wants to be beaten because it's what the person beating them wants, and there's lots of overlaps in between those three things. Those are all possibilities, and in the BDSM scene, when impact play is done, what ends up happening afterwards and is expected to happen and is negotiated happening is called aftercare. Many times when someone has been beaten like that and they are flying with endorphins, it's just really good to wrap them in a blanket and hold them for a while. That's one form of aftercare. Other people prefer to just have someone sit next to them and bring them a glass of water and they're fine. And on New Year's Eve, I beat a guy who said, my kind of aftercare is just bring me a beer when you're done with me. So aftercare can take on a whole variety of different forms, and really it needs to be tailored to who you are beating, and that takes place in the negotiation phase before you start doing any kind of play. So when you include pegging in the formula, that needs to be not only negotiated but taken into consideration as well. I have had partners who have told me that it's just too intense to be pegged after being beaten. And then I've also had partners that absolutely prefer it to be exactly that. So it really can be quite individual. I think more commonly, if you're going to do impact play, it's done before the pegging. And certainly, I'm assuming that you know that the pegging should not be at all painful. But even after the pegging, if you go straight from the impact play to the pegging, and then whatever kind of sexual interactions and intimacy you share after that, whether it's blowjobs or oral or missionary style vanilla sex or whatever it is you do after that, still your partner may require some aftercare after all that's over with. And I think it's good to hold space for the possibility that they may need some aftercare in between to move on to the next stage of what you're interested in doing. So take all that into consideration and just have a long conversation with your partner about it, because there is no hard and fast rule when it comes to aftercare combined with BDSM play, restraints, and pegging and sex, and talk about the whole thing. See if you can sort of figure out what you like, what he likes, and then go from there. Okay, here is another fairly long message, which is a personal story from someone on FetLife. When my mistress, now my wife, we'll call her Dame, first met, I had been interested in the DS scene for about 6 years. She had the experience, but I did not. And though I didn't say that anal play was a hard limit, I did come out and say that I wasn't really interested in it. I did eventually say that I would try it once, but she asked me to try it twice, unless I really hated it the first time. I was reluctant to try because of the homophobic affiliation that a lot of men associate all forms of anal play with. It was a bit more than that for me, though. It was also the potential to feel emasculated and humiliated. Humiliation play is kind of a hard limit for me. Anal play and pegging in general is something that I knew that Dame had always enjoyed. We had talked about it on the day that we first met. We met each other here on FetLife. Like a lot of other people who write into your show, when you're first delving into the idea of pegging, it can be overwhelming to admit that to somebody else. For all intents and purposes, you never know if the same person that you are afraid to bring it up with is afraid to bring it up with you as well, or something of a similar nature. Since Dame knew that I was only just barely receptive to the idea of pegging, she took it very slow. In the beginning stages of our relationship, she would deliberately find reasons to linger on my ass. Dame would let her hand trail down when we were in the shower together. She would also take the opportunity to stroke my ass and dip between when she was fondling me. The first time that it really went beyond simple exploring was on one occasion when I was bent over her lap getting a spanking. By this point, I had started to actually enjoy the sensation of her finger sliding over my asshole. The taboo nature of what it felt like she was doing made the new sensation feel that much better. She didn't take it past this point until I actually asked her to, something that surprised me, but of course not her. Skipping forward about 4 years, it is now to the point where I literally crave it. Dame never needs to ask me anymore if I want to. She'll let her hand wander like she used to back then, and that is her signal to me that she wants to. Sometimes, usually on a work night, she'll make me choose between anal play and sex. That decision used to be a no-brainer for me, but now it is actually a difficult decision, especially since I get really worked up just from the feel of her teasing. You mentioned on podcast 113 that some guys get so obsessed with pegging that it is basically all they want. While I agree that I have had my most powerful orgasms with something up my ass, I am thankfully far from the point of wanting just pegging. I enjoy PIV just as much as pegging, for much the same reason as my mistress enjoys pegging. She loves being able to bring me such powerful orgasms, and she loves hearing my reactions to everything she's doing, especially when she gets a front row seat to every bit of the experience. That's one of the things that I really enjoy about PIV. And let me pause here for just a moment to tell you listeners that in case you're not familiar with that acronym, it means penis in vagina. I like hearing her gasp when I penetrate her that first time, and I love pushing her for one more orgasm, and then one more until she finally has to make me stop. The same is true for her as well. After my penile orgasm, she loves to keep going, trying to coax out another. I was wondering if you could help me with how you define an orgasm. I have a hard time defining an orgasm when ejaculation isn't involved. Her goal is to get me to experience another orgasm, but I struggle with how that's possible when I know it will take a fair bit of time before I'm able to ejaculate again. She thinks that it would be possible for me to have an anal orgasm or a prostate orgasm, but my lack of understanding makes it a bit overwhelming, especially after an orgasm. Thanks for listening. And thanks for sharing that story with all of us. So, definition of what an orgasm is, you know, it's so interesting, this concept, because all we're doing is to try and define a word by bodily sensations. And I would hazard to guess that the same bodily sensations experienced by a whole bunch of different men would be described different ways. So it makes defining the actual sensation of an orgasm more limited to things that you can measure, like ejaculation, or if you know it's a dry orgasm, or if you know that it feels like it's going over your whole body. That makes it a little bit easier to define. Now, the different types of orgasms and how to reach them, I would actually recommend that you go to the Aneros forum, because there's a whole bunch of guys over there talking all about the different orgasms and how to get there. And even though they would be mostly talking about them in a solitary play, a solo play kind of manner, still that will educate you on the different types of orgasms that are possible. I know that I've heard them talk about a dry orgasm, which means no ejaculation whatsoever. I've heard them talk about a mixed orgasm, which I believe is you can feel it way, way deep inside you, and it's much more It encompasses more area in your body than a regular penile orgasm, but at the same time, you also have a penile orgasm and an ejaculation. And then I've heard of orgasms that are the kind where it just keeps rolling and rolling, and you are there sort of experiencing these little multiple orgasms after orgasms because there are these peaks of pleasure. Now, whether or not you can actually call those orgasms or not, I don't know. I think the most important part is that you keep feeling pleasure. And interestingly enough, in your description of what you really like to do during PIV, which is to encourage her to have one more until she finally has to ask you to stop, it's almost like she's really wanting to do the same thing and just, oh, you're still feeling pleasure? Well, let's keep going. Oh, this still feels good? Well, let's keep going. Until finally you're like, okay, I'm dying here. I've had enough. I'm too sensitive. Or whatever it is, the reason that you have her stop. But yeah, it sounds very, very similar to me. So do go over to the Aneros forum and check it out if you want more of an understanding of definitions, at least how they define them. And I think probably that group of men knows more about the different kinds of orgasms than pretty much anybody I know about. Plus, there's a whole group of guys there to support you in your explorations, whether it be questions about orgasms, questions about how to get there, what they feel like. And there's even a pegging thread there, too, where you can ask questions if you like. It sounds like both you and your wife are very similar to what I really enjoy about pegging. It's the giving of the pleasure that thrills me. And it's not just that I get that front row seat like you spoke of. My panties get way wet and I am very excited by the time I'm done. And like I've said a number of times, I'm going to start practicing how to get to the orgasm myself when I have a consistent partner. And I'm so looking forward to that because I have so many toys to try, and I'm sure one of them is going to be like the magic orgasm toy for Ruby. So again, thanks for writing in, and keep on pegging. Okay, and here is another contribution from FetLife, and this is a guy who has the letters Easy in his name. So that's what you are hearing when I'm talking about some of the things that he's recommending, just for reference. So here we go. I wanted to add my two cents to this, as I have thought about this quite a lot and tried quite a few different things with regards to finding a pegging partner. Easy's first premise: women are wonderful lovers and giving partners. Easy's second premise: in the context of a relationship where they feel loved, valued, and sexually satisfied, women will try pretty much anything. They are much less hung up than men. Easy's third premise: women are naturally naughty and derive a certain amount of pleasure from pushing their own boundaries a bit. Easy's fourth premise: pegging can fit in with the dynamic of any relationship power structure. It is not just for DOMs. And then he goes on to say, personal ads for pegging can work. Most women do not directly want pegging with a stranger. That does not mean they do not want anything. It just means that pegging is not the central theme. I have studied both massage and erotic massage. I have had success with ads that tout all three. In fact, I had a multi-year, lifelong, really, relationship develop from just such an ad. Even if pegging is not explicitly on the table, I have had massage and erotic massage partners quite often ask what they can do for me. If I talk to them about prostate stimulation as being an incredible pleasure center for me and most men, and that I would show them a number of ways to give this sort of pleasure, I have never had one not want to try it. This has been the case across age ranges 20s to 50s. I do think that women with a higher socioeconomic status are probably more likely to engage in this. My sample is definitely fairly heavy weighted towards professional women and women with college or advanced degrees. I also see a trend in my experience towards higher IQ women being more likely to not just engage in strap-on play, but also more likely to suggest it in future encounters. So if the audience for men with regard to personal ads for pegging trends in this way, then a direct approach is going to be seen at best as crude and boring. My experience also suggests that there are very few purely dominant women out there. There is a small group that likes to switch it up a bit. There is a vast ocean of women who are more wired for submissiveness. This means that the vast majority of partners are not going to want to turn you upside down, fuck you deep and hard, and have you shoot a huge load in your own mouth and then top that off with some of their own golden nectar. They are going to want to pleasure you in a sensual and emotionally connected way that is not about you being their bitch. It is very important to understand the context that is enjoyable for your partner, every bit as much as the activities involved, and maybe more so if you want to establish an ongoing thing and everyone involved really likes it. You have probably heard this sort of thing many times before. I just wanted to put together something that is fairly concise from a man's point of view that might be helpful with regard to your mission to both educate and, to a degree, corrupt the human race. I hope this is helpful. It was very funny at the end because I do see myself as kind of corrupting in a lovely, perverted, awesome, naughty kind of way. Absolutely. I am corrupting. I love to corrupt. I love to encourage the naughtiness. And I really appreciate all your input. It's interesting, all those observations that you've made, and I think probably the one that really made me perk up and listen the most was how don't just approach them for the pegging. You know, talk about what else you have to offer as well. Because yes, there's a zillion personal ads out there about, will you fuck me? And done crudely and without intelligence and bad grammar and stuff like that. So I agree, mentioning other things that you bring to the table is a much more dignified, no, that's not the word I want, it's a much more holistic way to approach it. And the thing is that it's not just parts coming together. There is that intimacy and connection for a lot of people wanting to try this. And I think more so for the women wanting to try it. So if you're going to take that segment of women who are open to this and you pare that down to the women that want to do it in an emotionally connected way, and your sample becomes fairly small, really. I don't know if it's as small as the sample of women who want to do this in a very dominant, aggressive manner and make you their bitch, because I'm a little bit leaning over in that direction, kind of. I am very sensual and erotic and emotionally connected as well, but it's kind of fun to make a guy my bitch. Only if he really wants it, though. So I think it's also important when you put any kind of ad out there to be specific about what you're looking for. Because if you just say, I want a woman to fuck me, you know, that could be a number of different ways, and someone could want you to be their bitch, and you could want some nice sensual experience. So it's good to get detailed in a very non-crude, generalized way that leaves no doubt as to the kind of experience you are hoping to find. So, yeah, occasionally ads can work, I admit, occasionally. And I do have that article that I'm going to put a link to in my Linkorama of the guy's suggestion for what he was looking for, but that was a pegging partner who was in the dominant submissive kind of context. That was definitely what he was looking for, was a dominant woman. But that Craigslist ad, he said, really was the magic thing for him. So I'm going to put a link to it again because, you know, not everybody hears all the podcasts. And who knows, there might be guys out there who are looking for the same thing. And it would be an awesome thing to include in this. And they click over there and find the love of their life like this guy did. I seem to remember something about he has a drawer full of panties now. Which just tickles me. It absolutely tickles me. So thank you for offering that. It was a pleasure to read, and I'm sure my listeners will enjoy it. And the last one, this is a question sent to me on FetLife. What is your favorite pegging position? I don't think I've heard you say. This is a question that gets asked periodically. I did have a podcast number 87 where I invited all of my listeners to write their questions in, personal questions for Ruby Rider. So if you want to go and listen to that podcast, it's kind of fun. It has a fair amount of BDSM in it because I am a kinky perverted woman. But it does answer that question. However, I am going to humor you, sir, and answer it once again here. In my fantasies, see, it's a two-part answer. In my fantasies, my favorite position is having the guy tied to my bed with a couple of pillows under his hips to elevate his ass. And I am laying on top of him and fucking him. And I have my arms underneath his shoulders, and I am using his arms and shoulders for leverage. That is the one that turns me on, just because of the feeling of power, the feeling of he's totally helpless, and the feeling of, I don't know, I have him where I want him. That's kind of like power too, but that's the best way I can phrase it. So many times when I'm fantasizing about fucking a guy, that is the position I will have him in. But in reality, I really like to see his face. So although missionary position is actually pretty difficult for me, it is something that I default to sometimes just because I want to watch his face the moment that I penetrate him. And as I find that spot and it's sending him to the moon, I do actually, honestly, have a sex swing now. It's totally awesome. So that makes everything really, really easy. And I know that that is not like a pegging position that you can just go, oh, hey, honey, let's try that, because it requires equipment. And that's a new development in my life. However, I love it. I totally, totally love it. And if you are interested in what kind of swing I have, I'm going to put the link to it in my Linkorama. There you go. That way you can have a visual, because man, does it make things a whole lot easier. It lets the guy relax, makes it really, really easy for me. And I can watch every part of him. I can, you know, grab his cock and jerk it off. I can tie him to it as well. So that whole tying thing that I get into, you know, it's awesome. I love it. Okay, so I'm going to leave it there. There are links on my blog for you to follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer and on Facebook. My page is still getting lots of thrills because so many of you are liking it. It's awesome. You can subscribe to my blog, where you will find things that I don't talk about here on the podcast. In fact, I just posted a really cool personal story about a little power exchange that happened for me today, and it's pretty awesome. It was a personal experience that left me with a better idea of what I'm looking for in a relationship and gave me the warm fuzzies, and that's all I'm going to tell you, and then you'll have to go read it yourself. The title of the piece is called As You Wish. So, moving right along here. You can stream this podcast directly from my website at peggingparadise.com, or you can listen to me on iTunes. And also, my podcast is definitely available through all kinds of the various podcast downloader apps. And when you check out those products that I talk about in the podcast by following the links on my Linkorama, please remember to use the coupon code Ruby for 20% off. Because bless you people who are ordering through enticeme.com, about half of you are not using the coupon code. And if you're doing that out of a sense of generosity, then bless your hearts. But if you're doing it because you forgot, well, don't forget. And again, purchasing through EnticeMe not only guarantees that you will have the highest quality, body-safe, non-toxic pleasure products, you will also be supporting my work here at Pegging Paradise. So call me at 805-500-6544 with your questions and stories and comments and fears and successes and wonderings and adventures, or write them all down and send them to me, ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. You guys are the best. Happy New Year. Woohoo! We're in 2016. And as always, happy pegging.